Good morning. Welcome to Word of Life this morning. Pastor Ken and Patty are on vacation in Big Bend this week, so they are not here with us, but we have Chaplain Frankie leading us in worship today.
Farther than they know. And if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing? Traveler is far away from home. He sheds his coat and quietly sinks into the back row. The weight of their judgmental glances tells him that his chances are better out on the road. We are the body. Why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is? High a price for us to pick and choose who should come, and we are the body of Christ. And if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? But if we are the body,
to be with you here this morning as we begin our worship in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. St. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and he says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't have any need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. If one member suffers, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. Let us join together as we confess to our Lord and our Heavenly Father where we fall short as part of the body. Oh Lord, we thank you, Lord, for our bodies. When we consider how each part works together, our bones and muscles, tendons and ligaments, heart, nerves and senses, we agree with the psalmist, we are truly, fearfully, and wonderfully made. But we also know our bodies don't always work the way you designed them. Joints and muscles ache, hearts fail, pain can be plentiful while sleep is elusive and our memories faulty. We confess that it's often because we don't care for our bodies the way you've given us, the way we should. Because we live in a fallen world where sin, our sin, has separated us from you, we cannot fully enjoy the life you desire for each of us. It's the same with our church body, the body of Christ. We don't always treat it the way we should. Perhaps we neglect caring for others. Perhaps we fail to exercise the gifts you've given us the way we should. This too can lead to aches and pains and atrophy in the body of Christ, your church. But it is because of Christ and his physical body, crucified for each of us on the cross, that we stand before you now and ask for your forgiveness. Open our ears to hear your word. Strengthen our weak knees. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us in your will and your ways, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hear God's good words of forgiveness. Know that our Lord Jesus Christ came to earth and suffered and died in a body. He was risen in a body. And for his sake, God forgives you, he forgives me, all of our sins, and makes us one with him in the body of Christ. Go in peace, knowing that God forgives you his sins, your sins, in Christ. Amen.
Coming back again, we believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. In our weakness and temptation, we believe. the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised in the here and now. Let love invade, let the church live loud. Our God will save, we believe, we believe. And the gates of hell will not prevail, for the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know your love will never fail. We believe, we believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back. He's coming back again.
Have a seat, except for the children. Children, come on up. It's time for the children's message.
All right. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a test for you today, okay? We're going to see how much you know. Let's talk about parts of your body. What part of your body helps you to see things? What do you think? Your eyes. How about to smell things? Nose. Okay, just shout it out over here. All right, you guys are very polite. Y'all like? Not every church has people raise their hands like so. Okay, how about what part of the body helps you to get your food into your stomach? What do you think? Your mouth. What else helps to get your food in your stomach? Think about it. What else is in your mouth that's working, huh? Your throat, okay. Your tongue, that's kind of important, right? Okay, what else? Your teeth, yeah, try to eating a hot dog without using your teeth sometime. That's kind of, don't do that, actually, don't. Okay, you wouldn't want to do that, would you? You'd choke on it, because your teeth have got to help get it in little bitty parts. What part of your body helps you to stay warm? This one's a little bit tougher. What part of your body helps you to stay warm? What do you think? You're not sure? I see everybody. I can see it right now. What do you think? Your brain? Yeah, it says put on a coat, right? And even, you know what? What's on top of your brain? Some of you have more than me. What do you think? Your hair, right? Hair is not just for good looks, right? Hair is there to help you stay warm, or sometimes to help you stay cool when the sun's out on a hot Texas day. God made our bodies and all these different parts to work together, right? Is there any part of your body that's a favorite part, or maybe a part that you wouldn't want to have? You think about it. Toes are important, aren't they? Yeah. You ever stub your toe? And it's kind of hard to walk when you stub your toe, right? Well, you know what? So in our Bible reading today, we're going to talk about the fact that God says that the church is like a body. Right? So everybody here are like parts of a body, okay? And that doesn't mean that, like, he's a nose. He's kind of more like hair, I think. Okay? And the guy over there next to him, he's like head, right? So head and hair. But what God means is that we all have different things that we do that are different than other people, right? Is there something that you're good at? Can you think of something that you're good at? What do you think? You're thinking of something. What do you think? Playing what? Okay, so you're good at that? What are you good at? Really? Okay. Maybe there's things we're not quite as. What are you good at? Making music? All right. Well, you know what? We need people that are good at making music, right? I'm really thankful because I can't do all the things that these people up here are doing, right? So Everybody has different things that we can do. And God says we can do those to help our families and to help people around us, but also to help people in the church with whatever gift it may be. And you probably don't even know what that's going to be yet. But when you get older, as you're growing up, think about it. How can I use this thing that I like to do that I'm good at to help serve God? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for making our bodies and all the parts. Each one of them is important. Help us always to remember that we are part of the body of Christ. You give each of us gifts, things that we're good at, to help our church and the people around us. Amen.
Every secret, every shame, every fear, every pain, live inside the dark, but that's not who we are. We are children of the day. So wake up, sleeper, lift your head. More than this, fight the shadows, conquer death, make the most of the time we have left. We are the light of the world, we are the city on a hill, we are the light of the world, and we gotta let the light shine, let the light shine, let the light shine. Called to spread the news, to tell the world the simple truth. Jesus came to save, there's freedom in his name, so let his love break through.
Talk today about the body of Christ, and each one of us a part of it. We talked a little bit with the kids about it. I'll tell you, last night I took about 400 milligrams of ibuprofen when I went to bed, because I spent the day working on changing out the brakes in my car, my 2002 Chevy Tahoe, and because that vehicle is 16 years old, 17 now, and has 252,000 miles on it, the parts don't move exactly the way you want them to, and I pulled muscles and worked things and tried to get leverage every way I could, working off a garage floor with things on jack stands, and You know, it was easier when about 30 years ago when I did brakes on a vehicle about that size. But that's the way it is. You know, there is a difference in our parts. And there's a commercial that was out. Oh, some of you will be old enough to remember it. It was a few decades ago. For you, those of you who are younger, this is what Wendy's commercials used to look like back in the 70s, I think.
Those Nibbit Sum hamburger places serve are actually processed chicken.
Excuse me, but what was that in there?
It's chicken.
Chicken.
Processed.
Processed?
That's like when they take a lot of chickens and assemble the respective parts.
What parts?
What parts?
Different parts.
Parts is parts.
Wendy's chicken sandwich is pure boneless breast of chicken. Moist and perfect and not processed.
As I hear tell, all the parts are crammed into one big part.
Used.
Yeah, then the one big part is cut up into little pieces parts. And parts is parts.
You want something better. You're Wendy's kind of people.
Anybody remember that commercial? Yeah, parts is parts. Well, our parts, parts. You know, it's amazing. I mean, the point of the commercial is even in fried chicken, battered and deep fried, it makes a difference in what the parts are. How many people here are white meat people? All right? Anybody here dark meat? Okay. I think I grew up liking dark meat because when I was a kid, we didn't have turkeys. We actually had a lot of goose at Thanksgiving. And I found that dark meat seemed to be moister. And as a kid, I could chew it up with my little teeth and get it down. But the other stuff just seemed to be a bit more tough or more dry. But, you know, the point is that it's not just parts, okay? Even chicken parts are different when we eat them. Yeah, we live in a world full of parts and numbers. You think about it. Take a look at that top left, okay? That's the bottom of a kitchen sink. How hard can it be, right? They all got to get in there, and they got to get in the right place. There's a name for every single one of them. And you can bet there's a part number for it. By the way, that bottom left there, that is the deck for a snapper riding mower with a three blades. That's just the deck. That's not the mower, folks. That's just the deck, what has to be go in place. License plate, you know, you check into the hotel, and what's your plate number, and you have to put that out there, right? Yeah, that's what a Wyoming driver's license looked like. I didn't copy mine on there. By the way, I just turned it in and got a Texas license since 2002, so that's, what, 17 years of carrying that license. It's a driver's license number that they want. We've all got numbers that are in my wallet, that are in our phones. I mean, the top number there, if you want to call me at work, that's my work number, 565-4748. That is not my Social Security number. I'm not that stupid to put that up there. It's not that I don't trust you, but you never know where your information is going to go, right? Who here is in the military, right? So I work in assignments these days, and you got to make sure that you're making the assignment to the right person, to the right. By the way, you work with their Social Security number because there can be more than one person by that name. Now, I work with Michael Carey number 6 at us.airforce.mil, right? And there's a whole bunch more Michael Carey's out there. But so we use the Social Security number, and then we match it to a passcode, which is where they're going to be assigned, and then we make sure we get it in the right position description number that they're going into. All the numbers have to line up. Right? And by that time, it's not so much working with the name as making sure the right number person is going into the right number job at the right number place and doing that. And that is my USAA number, by the way. So for whatever reason, for 20 plus years, I don't remember my wife's birthday, but I do remember my USAA number, right? So sometimes you can feel like a part, right? You can feel like a number. You ever think about yourself as a part? I told you, I said I went to get parts for my brakes yesterday. So I'm at AutoZone. And trying to get the right pads and the right kit, you know, for the right thing. And the guy's, okay, it's a 2002, it's a Chevy, it's a Tahoe, what size, 5.3 V8. Okay, is it this model, is it the T or the Z model? That's the T model. Okay, so from there on, oh, well, do you have, on the rears, are those single caliper or double caliper pistons in there? And it's like, well, doesn't it say? And it's like, oh, they put on different kinds. You had to go out and look in the parking lot and get down on our knees and look through the wheel spokes to figure out what we had there. It's been a while since I'd taken those off. But, you know, I think if St. Paul, if he were living today, he very well could make an analogy like this. It would go something like, if the ignition would say, because I'm not a headlight, I don't belong to the car, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the car. And if all the car were tires, where would the spark plugs be? And the engine can't say to the fuel injector, I have no need of you. And if the air filter suffers, the whole car suffers. You know, he could have done that if he was 21st century America. But by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, he did something a whole lot better. Not only because Paul didn't have a car back then, but the fact is that most people in our world do not own a car today. There are tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people in the United States, probably millions actually, excuse me, who don't own cars. But in Paul's day and in our day, everybody's got a body, right? And even though we may not be a doctor or a nurse or play one on TV, the fact is that we all know a little bit of something about how it works. Even the kids know, right? They finally got to using that teeth and the tongue to get the stomach down into the... It all has to work together. So the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, Paul talks and uses the analogy of the body that works for every person in every land, in every day, in every age. And what a blessing that is. Bodies are important. Just to remind ourselves of that. God made man and woman in his image, and he created them in bodies and made our bodies and formed them in the Garden of Eden. Jesus, we just got done celebrating Christmas and the Christmas season, and you know, he was born to Mary in a body. That's what we celebrate. We don't just lay a spirit kind of a nebula thing into the cradle. No, we lay a baby into the cradle, into the manger. And you know what? That body grew up. And it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's all we get about his adolescent years, okay? But that's enough. So we know he does that. And then he goes up and he's crucified in a body for you and for me to pay for our sins. He's risen in a body. He's ascended in a body. And we talk about when he comes again, he's going to come again to raise the resurrection of the dead that we talk about when we say that in the creed. I believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. Remember that. We confess it pretty often. And that's what we believe, that our bodies are going to be given new and glorified bodies. And so that's going to happen. And guess what? When you have communion here, you receive the body of Christ. Bodies are important to each of us, okay? So think about it. When Paul says you are part of the body of Christ, you're important. Each part is important. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. The fact that, you know, God takes us and makes us part of something bigger than ourselves. I'm in the Air Force. We talk a lot about the Air Force family. And the Air Force family and the fact that, hey, we kind of share the same things, right? We get assignments and they send us places that we maybe asked for, maybe we didn't. Maybe we didn't know those places exist. We have to go look on a map. Our families move around. We kind of share some of that stuff. Many of you have done that too. And so there's something that we share in common together. Even though we're all so different, we have this commonality and this thing that we share as we go through our careers and our families with us. But, you know, it's the same with the body of Christ. I think one of the neatest things was being a pastor and a chaplain in the Azores Islands of Portugal. So here we are 1,000 miles off of Portuguese mainland, and I got to a knock on my door at the chapel, and a Portuguese man was there. He was actually the head of housekeeping, and he says, "I understand you're a Lutheran pastor." I said, "Yes." "Are you Missouri Synod?" "Yes." "Good. We have fellowship with you." And then he proceeds to tell me how there's a small group of Lutheran, Portuguese Lutherans on the island, and they worship in a house church. And the pastors that come all the way from Oporto, from mainland Portugal, that's where port wine comes from, by the way, Oporto, and that's where they come from. And they're actually Brazilians who are sent as missionaries to Portugal and then who come out to the Azores, okay? So if you can kind of follow all this movement. But they can only come maybe 2, maybe 3 times a year when they can afford to buy their plane tickets for the pastors to fly out and come see them for about a week or so at a time. And I said, "Can you do worship services with us?" And so we did. And we had house church, and it was half in Portuguese and half in English, and it was the most fascinating part of the career ministry, just being part of the body of Christ and worshiping together. And there were some elderly Portuguese ladies there that didn't know English, they didn't bother to learn, didn't really care, but we all spoke the same language when it came to our Christian faith. And what a neat thing. It's a neat thing to be part of the body. So let's take a little bit of the anatomy and the physiology of the body. Anybody take anatomy and physiology besides Desiree over here? Yeah, okay, there's a few back there. So, yeah, I took it in 10th grade, I thought, or 11th grade, and I thought, oh, this would be kind of cool to learn. So I had no idea what I was getting myself into, and that was just high school, all right? So if you're in medical, holy smokes. Well, let's talk about it. You look at the different parts up here, you know, different systems. You got your nervous system, okay, all the way up to your brain, and then you got the cardiac system there, pulmonary system, and you got a digestive system, your muscles, your skeletal system, you know, all those parts. Every one of those is important. You can't imagine your body without just one system, but even all the parts that go into that. So how do you become a part of the body of Christ? You know, that's kind of the thing that's kind of neat. It's not like joining a club. You don't go and sign up. And it's not like, you know, all these applications that you get in the mail that are already pre-filled out for you, and you can go up and go ahead, get hit in that $25,000 credit limit credit card, you know, that you're pre-approved on, whatever. Listen to what Paul says. He says, "We were baptized by one spirit into one body, and we were all given one spirit to drink. Now, the thing that pastors do is we look at verb tenses. And what we notice there is that it's passive. It's not that I'm drinking from the same spirit or I'm not baptizing. You know, it's passive. It's what's being done to me. We were baptized into one body. We were all given one spirit to drink. You know, we're made part of the body of Christ, not because of what we do, but what's been done to us and what's been done for us. That God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die for our sins, and he makes us part of that body through believers in him. We can't apply for it. We can't, by our own reason or strength, even comprehend it. Isn't that what we say? If you remember the back in Confirmation days, the third article of the creed and the meaning of the creed, says, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith, even as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it in the one true faith in Jesus Christ. I can't comprehend it, but thank God that he does it. You know, you're made a part of the body regardless of your background. It doesn't matter what your race, what your job is, you know, how many kids you have or don't have. It doesn't really matter. It was kind of interesting. When I first started in the ministry, my parish was in a small rural town in Minnesota, southern Minnesota, where it's cold. It was kind of vanilla, all right? They were lily-white Protestant Anglo-Saxon farmers community. When I became a chaplain at Nellis Air Force, I can vividly remember stepping into the pulpit the very first Sunday and looking out across the congregation at the Protestant service there. And there were people there from every race and color and background. People that were foreign-born, people that spoke different languages. And it was just a shocking thing to me to realize this is the picture of heaven. And this is a picture of the body of Christ. Much bigger, much broader than I had seen it Sunday after Sunday. Nothing against St. John's Lutheran Church in Rushmore, Minnesota, and the saints and the believers there, but it's so much bigger than that. You know, you are part of a body that's bigger than here at Word of Life, and it's bigger than the LCMS churches in San Antonio or even around the world. It's a part of the body of Christ in every country. It's an amazing thing to think about that there's Christians worshiping around the world just as we are here this morning, and you and I are part of that. Paul says, you know, neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, you know, those things don't matter when it comes to being part. It doesn't matter how good looking you are, how much is in your bank account, if you got a nomination from your congressman, okay? You may need that to get into a service academy, but not into the body of Christ. There's no unimportant parts. None. Each of us has a purpose. You know, you think about that, you know, which part of the body do you think is worthless? I ask the kids, you know, what do they think is important? What part do you think isn't all that important? If somebody said, okay, you got to get rid of a part of your body today, what's it going to be? Right? I mean, what would you not blink an eye and say? Would your eye? Okay, I'll give up my eyes. I'll give up my nose hair. My wife say, maybe that hair that goes on the outside of your ear that I keep having to trim. I could give away my love handles and lose about 15 pounds. That would help other parts of my body be in better shape. But when it comes to a part of the body, I mean, they all have a purpose. Every single part God put there for a reason. Sometimes we don't really know it, don't understand it. They all have a purpose. And so it is that God has given us all gifts to use. I talked about the kids. You know, what are the things that you do, the things that you enjoy, the things that you're good at? I couldn't hear what all of them were saying up here. I'll confess. Just kind of a nod and assent. You know, but one said, hey, I'm good at making music. Or maybe somebody's good at caring. You look around, and what are those gifts that we have that we use? As a chaplain, I could be a pastor in a lot of places, but God has still so far given me a body that's holding up for maybe a few more years, Lord willing, and a spouse who's willing to be a military member, and I can still pass the physical, and I can still work in a pluralistic environment and not compromise my faith and work with people of other faiths and how we do that. All those things come together, and those are the gifts that God has given me. I don't have the gifts for other ministry. I have friends who are ministries in deaf and blind. I have friends who are that I graduated from seminary that minister in inner city or in foreign missions, and they know language skills that I don't have. So God gives us all different gifts, and it doesn't have to be something that extravagant or that extraordinary. Whatever it might be, what is the gift that God has given you, and how important is that? Sometimes we don't realize how important it is, but he's given everybody gifts to use. And the Bible says that he apportions them as he wills. You know, some people think that pastors have all the gifts. If you think that, I'd like you to kind of take that off the table. Okay, that's not scriptural. I know congregations out there that say, we want a pastor who is seasoned and young and full of energy and good with the shut-ins and with the youth and a great preacher and a great administrator and all those things together. And guess what? I haven't met that person yet. I met some pretty good ones, not me, but nobody has all those gifts. You know, God apportions them. The Holy Spirit apportions those as he wills. The pastor that I think of as one of the best preachers, he was a terrible administrator. Thank God we had somebody in the congregation who was a businessman that helped to run the congregation and keep things going and working those things out. Other pastors are maybe good at being with the youth or being with the elderly or whatever that might be. We don't have all the gifts. So please be forgiving on your pastor and give him a hug, you know, when he gets back from Big Bend. You know, one of the greatest things about being a chaplain or a pastor is sometimes your job is just to sit down and get to know people. If you're working an assembly line, that's not part of your job, okay? But as a chaplain, you know, sitting down and having a cup of coffee or going to where they work and seeing what they do. And it's always amazing to me to find out what gifts people have, because you don't know about people and their backgrounds and what talents they have and where they've been and what they've experienced until you sit down and get to know them. There was recently, LCMS actually had some folks in town about deaf ministry, consigning and how we do that with our congregations. The man that led that was speaking to our pastors, Winkle, at the pastor's conference this last month, and he says, you know, we were in a church not long ago, and they were asking, how can we get something like this started? And we said, do you have anybody in your congregation who knows how to sign? And unbeknownst to them, they had four people in the congregation who were fluent in American Sign Language, and to be able to do that. But they didn't know, because there's talents and gifts that are out there that just need to be used and need to be found. So Paul even says, you know, the parts that we think are weak in our body are important. I put the left picture up there because I've been having some foot problems lately, okay? I used to run marathons, and then I throttled back to half marathons. I told my wife at my last marathon, I said, if I talk about doing that again, remind me what this moment feels like. But you know what? I've been to podiatrists, I've been to physical therapists, trying to get things squared away, but it's not that easy. There's 29 bones in each foot, and there's 33 joints, and over 100 tendons, ligaments, and muscles in your foot. So trying to figure out which part is out of sync and how come it's, or the hamstring that's causing that pain down there, you know, how come is it when I roll this up here on a foam roller, I can feel somebody put an electric wire to the tip of my toe is what it feels like, because the nerves are releasing and shooting the pain out and doing that stuff. We take it for granted how beautifully and wonderfully we're made. Or that picture on the right. Yeah, we don't talk about those parts too very much, that lower part of the digestive system there. But let me tell you, when that goes south, all bets are off, right? You ever been on a trip and that's not working right? And you're saying, where is the Imodium, you know? Or I was supposed to be at an elders meeting a few weeks ago, and I texted Pastor Bars in the middle of the afternoon, and I said, I don't think I'm going to make it tonight. You know, I'm not sure what's happening in my lower GI, because I'm not sure I could make it to Crown of Life from where I was. But we don't talk about those things, but they're so important. You know, how do those nutrients and all those things get in, and the water and the fluids that we get into our bodies, that's where it comes through, right? It's not just a drainage pipe. Right? It has so much that's out there. Even the parts that we consider weak, the parts that we treat with discretion or that we don't talk about, are important. And Paul says it's the same way with the body of Christ. There's people in our church and people around us, you know, that song that we sang just a minute ago, if we are the body. You know, there's people around us that maybe we don't see as much, or the world sees them differently. When I was a pastor, I used to love to go and visit my shut-ins. I was in southern Minnesota, where it was often very cold. At Easter, I said, why are we bothering to color the eggs? Just throw them out there white in the snow and see if they can find them. Because at Easter, there was still the snow drift that was 10 feet tall behind our house. One week, when we were there, the high for the entire week was 12 degrees below zero. That's right. 12 degrees below zero was the highest temperature in 7 days. So I had a lot of shut-ins, elderly people lived out on farms, in nursing homes, if they were mobile, they didn't want to risk getting out, slipping, falling, breaking a bone, cracking a rib, cracking a hip, and then freezing to death before somebody came and could help them. So I did a lot of shut-in visits, and I loved it. Because those saints of God were just so strong in their faith, and they knew how much God had blessed them and continues to bless them. The picture on the bottom reminds me of my father. I think I mentioned last time I was here, last time I saw my dad. It took him the 10th day I was there before he recognized who I was. I called him on Christmas Day. He didn't know who I was. But you know what? He is a blessed saint of God, a man who has raised me in the faith, and I am so thankful for him. And he's still very faithful. If you go to him, he may not know who you are, but if you start singing the hymns, he's a tenor, and he's going to sing loud. Okay, so get ready. There's people in our world this week, 23rd of January, is the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, the decision to legalize abortion in this country. 60 million abortions since then. That's many, many, many more people that have died in all of our wars together. And yet, you and I look and we say, you know what, that little picture in the bottom right, how many people, that's the way we tell people we're pregnant these days, right? you put that in a card and you give it to your mom and dad or whatever. We're going to be grandparents. That's what my kids did. That's how we found out. Because it's a person that God created with a body that God created. And there's people that, you know, you look at the top of the picture and others, and people say, well, what kind of quality of life will they have? Or what will their life be like? Or can they contribute to society? You know what? It's a life. It's a life that God created. It's a life that Christ died for, and a person that is just a wonderful person in the body of Christ. When I was a child, we lived not too far from Cedar Lake Lodge in LaGrange, Kentucky, and there they actually had a home that was set up to help people with Down syndrome. And if you've ever been around people with Down syndrome, it's the most joyful place to be. Talk about people that love Jesus and are just happy to know that Jesus loves them. What a wonderful thing. You know, it's that way with the body of Christ. There are parts of our body that sometimes we don't see. They don't make it here on Sunday morning, or they're not quite as visible, or they're not up in the front leading worship, or in the back running the sound and the technology to make it all happen. But they're important parts of the body, and people that we can be thankful for and people that we can help serve. You know, Paul goes on to say not only is there all these different parts, but also so that there should be no division in the body. So the eyes and the feet shouldn't be fighting, saying who's most important, and our hands and those things. But it's the same way in the body of Christ. Now, if you remember, you recognize these pictures here? Two football teams just a few weeks ago. We're all focused on the Super Bowl now, but this was Clemson and Bama, right? The national championship. Some people are elated and some people are not so happy. The tide got rolled. But the fact is that, you know, when you're a Christian, you can rejoice with people who are rejoicing, even though you may be disappointed in your own personal circumstances. And you can also feel and have love for people who are suffering. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes ago and from now when we have the prayers and talk about praying for people that need our prayers, but also rejoicing with those who rejoice. It's an interesting thing how that works. So the question is, which part of the body are you? Or which part is important to you? I had a different picture of Pastor Ken up there, but he changed it somehow when the slide got in. The other one wasn't bad, but, you know, which part is important to you? Is it Pastor, who's away with his wonderful wife and seeing some of God's creation and some good friends that are blessings in their life? Is it the people that are praying with you and praying for you? Is it your Christian friends, you know, your youth? Is it mom and dad who brought you to church? Maybe moms and dads this morning, or maybe your mom and dad. One of my favorite memories of childhood, that same dad I was talking about a minute ago, was when I was about 4 or 5 years old, and the pastor would get up to preach, and my dad would just put out his arm and just snuggle me up to him on the pew and let me just kind of rest in his arms and know that I was welcome there. Is it the people that are teaching Sunday school with your children back there right now that are helping to do that? I'm here for 3 services, so I'm thankful for whoever made the coffee and brought refreshments, because I'll be leaving here about 12:30, 1 o'clock. Or is it the person that ran the bulletins, or the person that is playing in the praise team? All folks have different gifts. And you know what? Maybe you're one of those persons that someone else is thankful for. I can guarantee you that there are people that come in and out of this building and do things for this church that you have no idea. and for individuals in this church that you have no idea. Those are those kind of hidden, discreet members of the body. They're not flashy. They're not out there making it and getting all the attention. But as pastors, gosh, we love them so dearly. Which part is important to you? And the question is, are you that part for somebody else? You can be. I would ask and pray that you would think about what are the things that God has given you. Kind of like I talked with your kids, you know. What is it that you like to do? What is it something that you can do? What is something that's a gift that God has given you that you can use not only here in this congregation, but also with those around us that God sent us to? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for making us part of the body of Christ, and we ask that you would bless us and continue to work in our lives. We thank you for our bodies and how fearfully and wonderfully we made, and yet that also just what a wonderful example of how each of us can have a unique part to play as we serve one another. Help us always to find those things and the gifts that you've given us. Help us to use them in your service. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray. We thank the Lord for baptizing us into one body and giving us one spirit, and for arranging each of us according to his choosing, for making us members of the body of Christ. And for all his blessings, especially for new friends and others' friends, for Pastor Ken and Word of Life, for new employment opportunities and a successful new business, for almost $240,000 given to the Therefore Go Building Fund. We thank God for the blessings and the resources that he's entrusted to our care, and for his promise to multiply them to build a bigger heaven and better lives. We ask the Lord to inspire and empower us to value every member of the body of Christ, to bear one another's burdens, to rejoice at another's achievements, to work together using our unique gifts and desires and abilities and personalities and experiences to succeed in accomplishing God's purposes. To bless missionary Moses Teku and the people of Redeemed People Church as they reach out to people in Houston and beyond. And to bless our government to provide justice and protection for the good of all its people. God, we ask that you'd bless our leaders with godly wisdom and guidance, that they would lead according to your will. And to bless victims of hatred and persecution and violence and disaster. To bless and protect our troops and their families, especially this day we remember Brandon and Isaac Johnson and Juan Pizarro. And to bless federal employees who are not receiving a paycheck, and for a resolution to the impasse in our government these days. We pray for new or better employment for Jamie and Anne Marie, for Mark, and for a healthy pregnancy and delivery for Kelly and for Aaron and Stacy. We pray for peace for Ruth Deering and her long-term care, and to comfort the family and the friends of Judy, Sarah, Faye, Buford, Katie, Russell, and of the father of Joanne Holloway as they mourn their deaths. We pray for healing for Tom and Milagro, for Peggy and Al, Neil and Jean, Robin, Jamie, Coleman, Rob, Ray, Adriana, Hayden, Rick, and Paul, Monica, Martha, William, Denise, Ashley, Amanda, Estella, Marty, and Ed, Jan, Diana, Forrest, Sam, Charlie, Marianne, Larry, Ginger, Greg, TJ and Rufus, Morgan, Emma, Brad, and Riley, Wesley, and Lyle. We ask that you would help those who are battling cancer, especially this day we remember Joan and Elward, Lola, Roxanne, Carrie, Ada, Jean, Lawrence, Tom, Antonio, Edna, Kathy, Jeanette, Fred, and Sarah, Cheryl, Twyla, Ann, and Harold, and to strengthen their families. To open our eyes and hands and mouths to bless people. Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Hear these good words. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
Like why?
kingdom.